This is Shannon.
And this is Kamani.
And welcome to Drink with Blurreds.
Your source for, you know what we're about. I got caught up.
Our source of things nerdy, petty,
and pop culture, politics, all that stuff. All that good stuff.
All
the stuff we usually talk about. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for joining us for another episode. And I'm sorry, we're having some technical difficulties with the mic, so I was a little concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I think the recording would be fine. I think it's just maybe the headphone part.
But how are you? How was your week, Shannon?
Oh, it's all right. let me continue. Oh,
the saga.
The saga with the guy from... that walked in and had his whole interview, drug test, and background check. So, I told him that day last week, on Thursday, I will call you. I'll call you, and I'll let you know the status of your application. I'll let you know if you are hired or not, or, what's going on. So, I walked in to work. I think it was early. I think it was early for once. And, 10 minutes later... this guy just walks in. I'm like, I didn't even eat my breakfast yet.
You're probably sitting outside.
I'm like, oh my God, I did not even eat my breakfast yet. And you're here. I didn't even have a chance to call you.
Wow.
So my boss, he came back from vacation, didn't meet the guy yet. So he ended up, going in there, I guess having a mini interview with him. And he's starting Monday.
Well, persistence pays off in this case, I guess.
But I'm just saying, I didn't even get to interview anybody else. That's
really? Nobody else?
Because he kept coming. I even had a chance to do nothing. I had a list of resumes that I was going to call. And I'm just like, bro, please, hold on.
Wow, that's crazy, though.
Mind you, I mean, I guess that it worked out in his favor because I gave a bunch of resumes to my boss. I'm like, okay, here's a bunch. I put his resume in there too, just to see okay, what resumes you like or not, who do you think is a good fit. Mm-hmm. And his didn't make the cut. It did it.
Really?
Nope. So wow. I guess it worked out in his favor for him to come in like this.
I hope he's okay.
Oh my God, I'm still coming to work with a bulletproof vest because listen, because how you just walk up in someone's place.
He was probably waiting outside, waiting for y'all to come in.
Oh my God. Ridiculous.
But yeah, I don't envy those problems.
Oh my God, I'm still coming to work with a bulletproof vest because, like I said, anybody could walk up in that motherfucking place and shoot the shit up if they felt some type of way.
Right.
It's not cool. But I think that was pretty much the highlight of my week. I didn't do anything. Slept and crocheting and to be old. How was yours?
So the week started off with my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I'm old too. I went to brunch and then after I was gonna go see a movie, but I was so tired after brunch. And it was all the way, it was in Harlem.
You went to brunch in Harlem?
It was nice. It was a nice little thing.
A little truck, but
yeah,
not
next
so
time.
Bad, though.
Next time. I was like, it was like after I booked it, I was like,
maybe I really want to go to Harlem.
But I had made such a commitment in my mind. I just wasn't feeling, I wanted to spend my birthday at the beach, but my friends were dragging their feet. So I was kind of like, I'm going to do something. So this was kind of a reflex, brunch, Harlem, boom. Because the other option was Brooklyn. That would have been near impossible.
Listen.
So I went. It was actually a Jamaican spot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Nice.
I went there. Came home. This week's been less productive than normal, but more productive than last week. I saw Sorry to Bother You on Wednesday.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was really good. It's the Get Out of this year.
Really? What makes it the Get Out of this year, though?
So, without spoiling it, Remember in the Get Out trailer, like, you saw, like, part of it and you kind of scared, but you didn't know, like, the secret part, mm-hmm. like, with them transplanting brains and stuff.
Yeah.
Until you're in the movie. Something like that kind of happens in this movie. And it's kind of like there's a lot of symbolism. So, you see, like, the part you see in the trailer does happen, and that's, like, a big part of the movie. But, like, halfway through the movie, it kind of shifts, and, like, there's a new type of conversation that happens,
mm-hmm.
and new symbols are kind of introduced. And it's really in-depth, and it's like, whoa, once you get it. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you off here. I don't want to spoil it for you, because I feel like you have, like, it was, I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, this is really good, and, like, I get some of it, and oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. But then when this one scene really happens, I'm like, the fuck? And it was just so wild.
Oh my god.
But it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I was thinking about watching it, but then, like, you know that whole thing before, like, the movie was released, where he was, like, bashing, like, you know, the LGBT community or some shit like that.
Well, Tessa Thompson's in it. And I know her longer than I knew him. I only know him from Get Out.
Is he someone that shouldn't be canceled right away?
I don't know if I should say.
So I'm like, you know, we cancel everything.
At this point, it's like...
But it's just like, sometimes our faves are problematic.
And I think we need to have, like, a slots. How many problematic faves is a person allowed?
Right, like...
Because... Oh, there'd be like Monique's one of my problematic faves. I don't know what she was talking about Roseanne today.
Listen.
Because Monique, no. But I love me some Monique. She was right about Netflix in some way. Her problem was trying to get people to boycott Netflix for her.
You can't.
That's why she messed up.
It's just not going to happen. But I mean, there's other platforms where, like, you could go and support, like, I forgot what it's called, Brown Sugar, and it has, like, all black shows on there.
Oh, isn't that, like, for Bounce TV or something like that?
No, it's a separate thing. You get on, pay every month, just like a Netflix.
They have to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's, like, maybe $10 or something. But, it has, like, all black shows, all black movies. It's just a black Netflix. And I feel like it don't get promoted enough.
I only seen it on Bounce.
Oh, yeah?
Like, when I watch. Bounce.
Yeah, but it's a nice little service. I had it for a little bit, and then I took it off because, like, I already have Hulu, Netflix. And,
right.
Like, I'm not going to get rid of those, so I'm just like, okay. I already paid for cable, Netflix, and Hulu at the same time. No.
I'm going to try to convince my parents to get Sling TV.
Don't you need to have the internet with it?
Yeah, that's the only problem.
Yeah, but then you have to get the service from, like, a, you know, a Comcast or Optimum. But then
it's only, like, $40 for, like, 80 quality channels.
What channels, like, does it include?
All the important ones. Like, BET, MTV, VH1, mm-hmm. Nickelodeon, Game Show Network.
I'm pretty much fine with, like, VH1, and, like, I'm pretty much good.
I've been watching VH1 in years, though.
Oh, it got worse. It's terrible. All, like, the reality shows is just bad. All the Love and Hip Hops are bad.
Guilty pleasures.
It is. It's just a guilty thing, but it's terrible. It's, like, so fake. But, let's talk about your problematic fave, Monique, and her support for Roseanne Barr.
I don't know what that was about. I never read the email or whatever.
Read it, and it was like, she, I guess Roseanne has stuck up for her at one point, and I guess she has always been grateful for that. And I guess she was like, you know, she's not racist, or I guess she's just misunderstood, or whatever the fuck.
Monique was on that Ambien. That's my excuse. And, yeah, I don't know what to say.
Oh my god. I'm saying problematic fave, and then my problematic fave, Charlamagne. You know, recently he'd been in the news about, you know, this rape case that he had when he was, what, 22 years old, and he had, like, a response on the on his show, The Breakfast Club, and, like, he called his wife and everything, and, like, you know, did I rape you, like, when, like, we had sex the first time. Because the first time, I guess they was dating for, like, maybe a year. They didn't kiss, have sex, or anything.
A year?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then after, I guess one day they got, like, super drunk, and it happened. But, like, the way he explained the story on, like, podcasts and different platforms.
Is that the one that...
No, that's another one. This is his wife.
So there's that one, and then the other one that he was describing.
The other one he was describing was, well, assuming that he was describing it when he was 22. But this one he's talking about was with his wife, saying that, you know, he kind of raped her. And he asked her, like, did I rape you? And, like, when he explained the whole thing, she was like, kind of, sort of, yeah.
Because they were intoxicated.
Mm-hmm. And she was kind of, like, out of it.
Oh.
But she was like, but when he called on the show, she was saying, like, oh, well, yeah, don't know how to really say the story right or something like that. And she was like, you know, I was pretty much aware of what I was doing, this and that and such and so forth. And it's just hearing the conversation was kind of uncomfortable.
Right.
And, like, watching the video, because it's just like, Angela Yee was here getting her hair braided, and then...
Wait, in the studio?
In the studio, and while recording.
Is she black?
I think she's, like, black and, like, Filipino or something like that. And then
DJ Envy's black, too, right? Just light-skinned?
I think he may be Puerto Rican or some, like, light-skinned shit. I don't know. He was asking, like, his wife, like, you know, was it good? Like, nigga, what the hell? First of all, nigga, that's gay. Nigga, that is gay.
Was it good?
Like, was it good? Nigga, do you want some? Like, like, bro, you sound kind of crazy right now. Like, are you attracted to Charlamagne? But that's problematic phase. Let's talk about everybody's fave, Beyonce, and these problematic shirts, because
she got it fucked up. So, I couldn't believe we should have recorded this.
Yes, because live. I was going off.
I was like,
had me fucked up.
Cringe.
So I guess.
Meanwhile, I'm broke right now. So listen, it's like hearing those prices are just like.
So what? This was, I guess it got released maybe two or three weeks ago. 1 or 2 weeks. So, let's go back to Coachella when she performed and she was wearing that sparkly sweatshirt with the fraternity. Well, her Beyonce. Her Beyonce fraternity on there. And from then, like, she made, like, I guess, like a collaboration with Balmain. Well, you know Balmain is a luxury brand anyway, so I was already expecting expensive products. But come on. So they said,
wait, I said like $70 for a sweatshirt.
I said, oh no, baby, that's
I
cheap.
Was like, oh yeah, baby, 70.
Oh no, baby.
I remember that's how much my hoodies in college cost, and I was like, these are expensive
for real.
Yeah, one of
my
Drew
Hoodies.
Oh my God,
I used to catch it on sale for like $15, $20.
The good ones with like the stitch letters.
Uh huh.
Was $70.
Yeah, that's if you want like the good stuff. I'm like, look, everybody walking around with a cheap $10 shirt. Like, anybody really even going after that? I mean, sometimes they have like the percentage off. But anyways, they said that all the proceeds will go into HBCUs, black colleges. And I'm like, okay, cool. But the prices are ridiculous. The t-shirts are $290. The sweatshirts are starting from, I think, $550 all the way up to $1,790.
Now, what? Wait, how much?
$1,790.
That's how much my tattoo costs.
Oh my God, you said that much?
About.
Oh my God! I paid like a percentage for this one.
That was about how much it cost with tip.
Oh my God!
But that was like that's like a whole Beyonce ticket to On the Run.
Listen.
So like, what do you do? Do you buy like On the Run ticket, or you buy?
I feel like if you buy an On the Run ticket, should I get? I should get a free goddamn T-shirt.
Well, you have to be like front row seat. like VIP pass. You know the Carter's gonna get there and pay.
Listen,
you saw that picture of Blue Ivy?
Yes, living her best life.
Doing yoga and stuff.
Right?
While I'm broke.
Yoga, meditating, all of the above she was doing. Mm-mm. While I'm over here working a 9-to-5 trying to pay my bills.
That's somebody's car. That's like a mortgage.
Mm-hmm. For the month.
Just to,
for that month.
Right. A mortgage, rent for a really high-end apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, it's more money than I got.
They're trying to make all
the
regular apartments that damn price now.
Right, exactly. That's wild.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, well, if you got money to spare to buy these, like, I'm looking for a patron. I will take money, like, and do, yeah, I'll just take your money and use
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you're investing in my future. Think of it like that.
So what? I feel like we have a whole bunch of problematic faves on here. We also got R. Kelly and his 19-minute confession.
Hey, my fave.
Called I Admit It. And he's over here talking about how he was broke and how he liked older women and younger girls.
Mm-mm.
I mean, listen, he's a whole hot mess. And it was just hilarious. Let me see if I could Google, like, some of the funny parts. And he was saying how he was illiterate and he couldn't, like, read and write. So he ended up signing away, like, the rights to his songs back in the 90s. So I'm like, oh, shit. So, yeah, he's broke. Because, I mean, like, look, he made some hits, okay? Now, I feel sorry for him. He's probably only getting royalties from Stepping the Name Love.
And movie body like Ignition and all that stuff. Because that was in 2000.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully right. Someone had got him together.
Right.
It was one part. I got from that part. He was like, he was talking about how him and Wendy Williams was sitting down talking. And she had asked about, did you pee on a girl or some of that video? And he was like, hush.
What? Are you serious? Wow.
Hold on. Hold on, let me find it. And it's just the way he said it, too. I'm just like, yo. He is crazy. Hold on, let me see. Out of this 19, if I could find it. And then he was also talking about how, like, yeah, he messed with, like, the girls that, like, was thrown at him. But, like, the parents should, you know, also not throw their kids, not kids, but their daughters or girls at him. So it's just like, yo, I'm like, it's just a lot.
That's too much.
It's a lot. I'm like, yo, this is a little too late.
Right.
Now that you're broke. Like,
right.
Now you have something to sing about. Oh my God, let me see if I can find it. Uh-huh. He said, Wendy Williams mad with me, but I never offered her no drink. But I admit that she asked me, can I get a little Hennessy? We both turned off our phones. We drank, we smoked, we talked. And I admit that I told it all, from my good points to my faults. She said, what about Aaliyah? I said, love. She said, what about the tape? I said, hush. My lawyer said, don't say none.
Wow.
When I say he put everything on the table.
That's crazy. Oh, my gosh.
He put everything on the table. I'm like, yo. I don't know if I want to listen to it, but just, like, hearing, like, bits and parts, it's just ridiculous. Anything else you want to talk about Starfire?
Yes. If you have been living under a rock, you wouldn't know that white nerds have the weirdest obsessive relationship with fictional characters.
Yeah, they don't live in our reality.
And let's not even talk about the black. We've talked about when black male nerds attack before. But they were out here capping. So, for those that don't know, there's a new show for Titans. It's a mature theme show, and it's coming on DC's new streaming service that's coming out.
DC have a streaming service?
Yeah, they're making it. I already signed up.
Of course.
When I shouldn't. It was like, oh, sign up now for a year and get 3 months free. I'm like, that is actually a good deal. Where's my credit card? Put that straight on the credit card.
But why is it like this, though?
Why is it like...
Like, you'd be like, oh, this is great. I'm grabbing my credit card.
Well, like, I can't use the money for my account.
Right.
I'm like, I gotta use someone else. Later. I'll pay it off later when I get paid for real. But they casted Anna Diop as Starfire.
Is that like a Haitian or African name?
I think it's like African. Let me look. Yeah, I think they casted her as Starfire. Mm-hmm. I remember when it happened, people were like, no, no, no. Senegal. She was born in Senegal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and she is so beautiful. Yeah, gorgeous.
She's pretty.
So they casted her. I remember people were like, dude, the Starfire is not black. They were like mumbles. Uh-huh. They didn't say anything
outright. I remember when they released the pictures of like each of the characters, and it's just like, Starfire got like the most heat because mm-hmm. it was like, oh, her hair matching her outfit or this and that. Someone said that she looked like a prostitute.
They did say that.
I was just like, y'all but, taking it too far.
So this is what I heard is that the costume she's wearing is from a costume party in the show where they pay homage to the original costume. Because I think a lot of people, we knew Teen Titans growing up. Mm-hmm. So we think of Starfire looking like super skinny with like hair. When she came out in like the 70s or 80s, she was like curvy and like,
I was reading, I don't know if it was that article you posted, but it was something I was reading. And they were saying that she was originally a black character.
That's, she kind of looked like it.
I mean, they said she had golden skin.
I don't see why not.
So, I mean, does she need to be white if she's golden?
Right, but like, yeah, so she has orange, she's orange, he's an orange alien. Mm-hmm. And even if you look at the rest of the, she was on screen for literally 2 seconds. And people lost their mind.
They can't stand a black woman, I swear they can't. Like,
so, and the reason that you know is like, no one complained that Raven wasn't gray. Mm-hmm. Or no one complained that Beast Boy wasn't green.
Right.
So, like, they were after her. Like, she deactivated her comments on Instagram. And deleted all the pictures relating to it.
It's just like,
because like you have to also think about it, like she's not. This is like her first major role, so she's going from like a regular actor trying to work, maybe had like a job or two, to like this big thing, to these toxic people, and another actress in the DC like TV verse, Candace Patton, she plays Iris West on The Flash. Mm-hmm. She was like one of the first people to get like this big backlash because in the comics Iris is white, and they made her black in the TV show.
Right.
So people are like, ah.
So I'm like, this is what I was thinking, right? So when characters that were like white and black people get upset at it, not black people get upset. Did I say it right? I don't think I did. When a character is originally white and a black person fills that role, and like there's black backlash or there's like, you know, encouragement, like, you know, people want that. But then there's also like Scarlett Johansson
who's doing anything,
who's out here, she's acting like a trans man, she's acting Asian. And I'm just like,
literally anything.
And she dropped from that trans man role. I'm just like, is there any way we could find like a balance between this? Because just like,
nope,
we don't get to see Asian characters like that. Like I was watching some movie and I saw an Asian character. I'm like, oh my god, there's an Asian in here,
right?
But it's just like once you see like a white person fill a role, it's just like, like you get everything.
And so, and this is kind of related. In Game of Thrones, there are these two characters that have like a relationship. They're people of color. And I remember when people were like, oh, I don't care about this storyline. And I'm like, y'all don't, but all black people care about this storyline. Because literally everyone else on the show, 99% of the people on the show are white. Uh-huh. With speaking roles. These two black people having a relationship, uh-huh. we care about them.
Right.
So it's kind of like that. Like, if you have, or, and it's everything, if you're so used to having the world cater to you, mm-hmm. even in fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. And it kind of like reinforces this whole thing. That's why I think part of the election was just this fear of being taken over. Mm-hmm. Because they were like concerned, like they were just the default on TV for everything. Mm-hmm. Now they got to deal with
other people and other races.
Yeah.
They're like, who the hell is this?
What? I am not the one. Like, this isn't Leave It to Beaver, like, all the time.
No.
So I support Anna Dior. I'm looking forward to the series because I like this edgelord stuff that DC puts out sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's really angry. And I already paid for it. So for a year, I've been in for 15 months.
Oh my God.
But it was like $76, right? It was $76 for 15
That's
months.
Not bad.
That's a good ass deal.
That is good. Because it's just like, okay, Netflix is like what?
10 a month. That's 120 a year. Mm-hmm.
Then I pay for like Spotify and that's like $15.
Right, exactly.
And so it's just like,
so okay. 76 a year for so 15, bad. That's good. So I just need the quality. Like, I'm a, well, they're also going to have Young Justice on there. Mm-hmm. So, like all the DC back catalog. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just get the free trial and switch
emails when it's over. I don't know if they're going to have a free trial.
So what if, like, well, you got charged already.
Yeah. Because I wanted those 3 months for free.
I'll figure it out.
I was like, 3 extra months? Oh, that's actually good. I'm just broke right now. So let me get that credit card.
Unless, I'm going to shout out, what's her name, Anne Hathaway? Mm-hmm. For, I guess,
oh, yeah.
pulling her foot down and saying, like, look. I'm white and I'm privileged and we need to recognize this and we need to push forward and help with these issues than just leaving it on the back burner and letting people suffer.
Yeah.
And this was in relation to the murder of
Nia Wilson.
And shout out to her. I mean, she's still not invited to the cookout, but it's cool.
Yeah, what happened to Nia? That was not even, there was two. There was another black woman killed this week, too.
Oh, yeah?
I can't, like, I remember when I was reading, I was like, is this the same story? And it's completely different.
To be honest, I don't know Nia Wilson's story.
It was an attack on a train.
Oh, yeah.
In San Fran, like, the BART, yeah.
In San Francisco?
I think it was, or Oakland. So
I'm about to say, San Francisco is like the land of the gay. Like, how the fuck?
Wait, so I actually have something, a story about San Francisco I need to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
But it's different. But, like, yeah, she was attacked. She's in Oakland on the BART. And attacked by this white racist guy. And her sister got attacked, too. She was the one that died. Mm-hmm. And then when they had, like, a vigil, apparently these white Confederate racists...
Are you fucking kidding
tried
me?
To show up and got whooped.
I bet. They better.
It was, like, amazing. I was like, really?
Good.
But, like, that's how, and...
Fuck out my face.
Right. They always try to do that. But then this other black woman, it was, like, I'm gonna look for her.
I just hate how, like, the Shade Room, like, people was, like, once they posted the Anne Hathaway, her comment, people was like, yeah, she's invited to the cookout. Oh, she's getting that potato salad. Oh, she's getting that mac and cheese. I'm like, bruh. Why are y'all so damn quick to invite white people to your goddamn cookout? Can we stop? Shit, they don't invite us to their cookout. Shit, I probably wouldn't eat anyways, but still. Had enough.
So 4 days ago, this woman named Crystal Foster was also killed. Mm-hmm. Wait. No, Crystal Foster. Michonne Cooper was the woman that was killed mm-hmm. by this man named, he don't matter, but she was killed by him in Kansas. And it's like another crazy story of a white man just being...
Then they just passed a law for like hate crimes?
Does that matter anymore in this age?
I'm just saying, why pass that law and it's just like, it's still out the fucking window.
Wait, is this for lynching though? Is that the law you're talking about?
Is it for lynching? Or it's not just like...
It hasn't even passed yet. They just introduced it.
Oh, that's not going to pass.
They're going to be like, why do we need to do this? I'm right. Like, y'all should have did this in the 1900s.
Hello.
Do you have anything else to add?
Nah, I think that's pretty much it.
So, we're going to jump into our topic before this church starts.
Right.
So, as you guys know, Shannon and I are, black immigrants, children of black immigrants, mm-hmm. first generation either way.
Yeah.
And it's always been an interesting...
It's a different experience.
How so?
I feel like, you know, when people, like, go, not even on, like, on social media, but just being, like, in school, and it's just, like, our upbringing is just different from someone that was born in America. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to really explain that.
Well, I remember growing up. So it's weird because I was born in Jamaica and then immediately brought here as a baby. Mm-hmm. And my mom always, like, says, if your father had went to America sooner, we would have came up, you would have been born up here. I'm like, maybe I wanted to be in Jamaica. Because, like, if you think about it, you really don't have a choice as a first-gen immigrant. Mm-hmm. There was a story of my brother wanting to go back to Jamaica, and he got dressed up and told my parents, like, oh, we're going to go back to Jamaica. And they were like, yeah, no. And then he got upset. But, like, that's how it is, because, like, mm-hmm. you kind of uproot your life and move to a different country that you're not familiar mm-hmm. with, and you don't have any support system, really. You might have a few family members, but you really got to make your way.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting hearing about how certain people have experienced black immigrants mm-hmm. and what their experience of this
and
really
I feel
is.
Like, it's not good when, what? Like...
Diaspora wars.
It's like when, like, a black person that was born here, and they, like, talk about their views about foreign, you know, black people, and it's just, a lot of the times, from what I heard myself, it's not really good. Mm-hmm. They don't really care. They think that, you know, we're out here stealing jobs and, you know, doing any old thing, and... I mean, look, we have to survive. Like, black immigrants got to survive somehow, and we got to do, you know, certain things to live.
And I think it's because I can already hear people saying, like, oh, but why do black immigrants...
It's like, we can't walk into an office and ask for disability that
right.
easy.
Right. People be thinking immigrants get everything that means they get off a plane or a banana boat. I remember people just say that to people.
Uh-huh. Banana boat, African booty scratch.
Right. Now everything. It's like taboo to mention those hurts. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, you still on that? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, because I've seen people get bullied because they're from a different country.
And now everybody wants to claim, like, ooh, jerk chicken. Like, stuff like that. But when you were growing up, it wasn't mm-hmm. cool. Like, yeah. Some people, yes. And I think Orange, it was a little different because we were surrounded by a decent amount of people mm-hmm. from the Caribbean.
I mean, times now is different. But back then, like, you know, when we was,
like
just, in our early years yeah. in high school, it was, like a big group of Caribbeans. It was just, like, from
and
different
elementary school
places.
Was different. It wasn't yeah. as many of us.
No, that's why I was so... It was kind of, like, a culture shock when I right. went to, like... high school, because I'm like, where did all these Jamaicans come from? Where the hell was all these Haitians?
They were like...
Where, I ain't go to school with none of these people.
Right. No, but, like, it's really interesting because I remember growing up, I would have, of course, mainly black students, African Americans. They would talk about what they did from the summer, how they went down south to visit family and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I cannot relate to that at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know nothing about Brits. I really don't.
The only thing, like, we did fried chicken, but it wasn't, like, ours. Like, you understand what I mean? Like, it wasn't, like, a cuisine we did on the regular.
Yeah, like, soul food is, like, completely
yeah, so
different.
Mac and cheese, like, we really didn't do that. That's not like a Jamaican dish.
I mean, we eat mac and cheese. We make mac and cheese. But,
no, like, we had to learn it. But, like, so I remember Thanksgiving growing up. Now I actually agree with it. My parents would just buy a chicken. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, like, turkey. What? We don't eat turkey back home. Chicken. Here's a chicken. And actually buying a chicken makes a lot more sense. Because once that thing is done, it's done. You're not eating it for 2 weeks straight.
You're not. I mean, well, I come from a really big family. So, like, food don't even last that damn long in our house. So, like, my mom would always get turkey. She'll probably get a ham. It's like, you know, Christmas is a little different.
That's their thing. Like, Christmas for Caribbean people is a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm. It's just different. My mom will go. She'll change the curtains. She'll change around the living room. Just for Christmas, you know, she'll get like a ham. We wake up in the morning, we smell ham. It smells amazing. We get up, we eat our breakfast before we open our presents.
Oh, gosh. Such discipline.
I'm telling you. And that was like our only like real discipline. Like, like, oh my God, do I really have to like eat? But I mean, it's good. I mean, I enjoyed it. But now it's just different. I think everyone's just older.
It was also kind of isolating because for me, all I knew was home, church, school. Mm-hmm. So church, I was surrounded by Jamaicans. So like there was always that part. Mm-hmm. School. What? Nothing.
Let's just ignore it.
Church, I was surrounded by Jamaican. School, it was a little different because since I came here when I was a baby, I was raised here my entire life. I sounded like I was born here, but I had a green card. Yeah. So that was always an interesting thing. I remember when we had to go down for my grandmother's funeral in Jamaica, we had to go get our green cards renewed. Mm-hmm. And that was like something that I couldn't really talk to my friends about.
Because they don't know.
They don't know what that is or what that means. And it would always still those jokes about, like, oh, people, like, do you have, like, your paper? Like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it was always just really interesting to have to be in that predicament where, I think as I gotten older, I've become more, like, part of me became more insecure, part of me became more confident. Because it's like, when I go to Jamaica, they don't see me as Jamaican. Mm-hmm. They see me as, like, American.
Yeah.
But when I'm here, I'm like... Yes, America says they accept everyone, but like America don't even accept its own black people. Why would they accept my black foreigners?
Even that's probably even worse.
Right, exactly. But they only use. So this is the thing: like they will use us to pit us against each other. Mm-hmm. They'll like say like, "Oh, you're not like our black folk," and that's something that has that's historical. Mm-hmm. Like they've always done that. And so some black immigrants they do some, and this is like an important point because I've gotten a lot of arguments about people saying like, oh, black immigrants come here and they don't think they're black and they think they're better. And I'm like, okay, some do think that.
I mean, the thing is, I feel like there's always some type of truth into it.
Right.
But there's also another flip right. side. Like, in all actuality, I'm like, look, I'm black.
I have not met one dark-skinned Jamaican or a black, like, a visibly black Jamaican that would say they're not black. Mm-hmm. I think because, and I remember there was a video a few years ago, there was this girl, a teacher was saying something negative about her, and she said she was black or something, and the girl said she wasn't black, and I understood what she was saying, because she was saying she's not African American, but she is black, because she took offense to the racist statement, and just said she's not black, because she didn't have the language to kind of really explain it.
Yeah, I mean, do you think people would like... come together and actually discuss that being black and being African American?
No, because some people think race and ethnicity are the same thing. African American is an ethnicity. Right. It's a type of blackness. Remember that whole debate I got into with someone 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
They were like, African American refers to everyone in the Americas that's African descent. You know nobody else uses that but you. No one else is using African American to describe Jamaicans. So African Americans refers to a specific type of people, those in the U.S. that are black, that have like a history connected to the South. I don't have any history connected to the South, to my knowledge. But
I definitely do not.
Like I learn it and I can understand it. But at the same time, like, I eat curry chicken and I can't saltfish. I don't eat.
I mean, even, like, our histories are different, too.
Right.
So it's just, and, like, you know.
And that's fine. I think part of the stuff that happens in this diaspora wars, and they're not, I don't think they're ever going to go away. Because you're always going to have, like, an African or, like, a Caribbean person that feels some sort of hurt from childhood and remembering how they were made fun of or something.
Yeah.
Or, like, some African-American feels slighted by, like, immigrants coming here and not paying homage. Because it is true, like, you do have to understand that African-Americans have been fighting for a while, forever.
Yeah.
And as a minority. But you also have to understand it wasn't, there's a benefit to be, and yet, okay, I get it. Racism is a thing, and the U.S. is known for its racism. It's been known for its racism.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a benefit, as crazy as it might seem, to being born in the U.S., even as a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Black people in the U.S. were able to go to South Africa, and black people from elsewhere, too, go to South Africa during apartheid, and their passport would be stamped, like, honorary white. And they would be able, given, like, certain special status where, like, black South Africans weren't afforded. So you have stuff like that. And also, no one ever really, and it's only stuff when you start traveling, you see how your U.S. passport gives you power.
Yeah, I was,
as a black person especially.
I was just mentioning the passport. I was on Facebook and it was saying, like, a U.S. passport is, like, the most powerful thing in the world because you're letting into so many countries. So I'm just like, wow.
When my aunt came when we were younger, we were going to go to Canada, and she was visiting from Jamaica. She had to go to the Canadian embassy in New York and get a visa first. Mm-hmm. We had to get visas because we had green cards.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant we had a Jamaican passport, not a U.S. passport. So we all had to get visas to go visit Canada, to go visit family there.
Mm-hmm.
But the U.S. passport, it's nothing. Literally nothing. Literally just like you can walk across the board. This was like pre-September 11th.
Mm.
So even then, it was like my sister didn't need, when she, because she was the only one born here, she could travel on her birth certificate up to like a certain age.
Yeah.
And then they changed the law that she had to get a passport.
Right.
So like all of that, that's something that, and that's why people come here. And there's never a conversation or discussion about how the U.S. like decimated our countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like even though the British did a lot of damage for centuries, when our country started getting independent, the U.S. especially, like, in the 1980s, Jamaica, like, there was this big fight to prevent socialism from taking hold in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the U.S. was fighting and fighting Cuba. And a lot of the violence kind of spirals out of that.
Mm-hmm.
No one talks about how the IMF got countries that couldn't pay back these loans hooked on its loans.
I mean, well, that's the thing. People here don't know that.
And that's the... So you benefit from like, that.
People here do not know any black history outside of the United States.
And I would...
Maybe bits and parts of world history, but they don't know any black history outside of the States.
And that's... I'm not going to say any names, but that's what I was telling you-know-who.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, like, people out... Black people outside of the U.S. know black African-American history.
Mm-hmm.
They know about Martin Luther King. They know about Malcolm X. They know about these people.
Mm-hmm.
But how much black history do people that are not from the U.S. know about the rest of the world?
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about one, capitalism, and how it functions. Like, you're in a sense, America's a cultural center. We know that.
I feel like America just feels like a bubble.
American exceptionalism, baby.
It's just like, it's just a bubble. Like, you're only getting your information from social media and the news, and it's only to people a certain like point.
People that think like you.
Yeah, so it's just to a certain point. You don't get to see a lot of things that happen outside of the U.S. Not unless you have, like, one of those, like, them, you know, them little local channels that tune into, like, the Caribbean.
CIS.
Yes!
Listen, my father watches that every Sunday.
Okay, my mom tunes into this Trinidadian news.
Right, on the radio. That's a thing we had to create up here.
Well, she watches it on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah, and she follows it, like, every day. And, I mean, it's a cool show. He's funny.
But like, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. That we have to create these linkages with our home.
Mm-hmm.
Back at home.
See, but, like, I don't think it's so easy for someone here to jump into, like, another black culture to even understand that.
We do it all the time, though.
I mean, that's because we this is where we live. Like, but that's isn't we that have to jump into this.
Isn't that kind of the problem, though?
What?
Because it's like we can understand American culture because we're immigrants, right?
I feel like not even that. It was just, we live here. We don't have no choice, but we're surrounded by that's Trump. True. We're surrounded by,
that's true.
You know, soul food and but Southern people.
It don't take that
like
much
that.
To pick up a book.
It don't. But like,
there's
I'm,
a lot
I'm not going to
expect
write
about that.
Someone who was born here to sit and watch a Trinidadian news.
Okay, but then, so have you seen Luke Cage yet? Season 2?
I've seen the first episode. Stokes.
We're not gonna talk about the accent. That's another thing. Like, ever since I'm younger, those Jamaican accents have never been on point.
Listen,
but that says something about
the views.
The views of like because there was a big debate online. About,
even there was even one part in that first episode that kind of like triggered me a little bit when he was like, "Yeah, we want to keep Harlem black."
But not these Jamaicans.
Not this is what he said. Not the cigar smoking black, and not the ganja smoking black. Was it ganja smoking?
It was something
said?
Like that. I remember he.
And I was like, really?
What is cigar
so
smoking
what,
black?
I'm thinking Cubans.
Oh yeah, because like the Dominican mm-hmm. Cuban guys.
I'm thinking Cubans.
So just like African, but like later on, I don't want to spoil it too much.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, this diaspora wars theme kind of comes back up mm-hmm. because there is a scene that's a throwback scene. And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Where mm-hmm. some of the characters that African American mistreat the Jamaican characters because they're Jamaican, and it's like a tit for tat. It's mm-hmm. kind of like the same stuff you see on Twitter when there's the diaspora wars going on.
Uh-huh.
Like it's kind of like, but y'all weren't free till like 1962. I'm like, colonialism was a thing. Don't you know about this?
This is what I'm saying.
Like, and it gets really like so people. That's the thing. People don't even know. People think that all the Caribbean countries just got free in 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We've been colonized and enslaved for like 500, like since the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long ass time.
Yeah.
So and it's a lot more complicated than just getting free. It's a lot more complicated. And I think, and I feel like I'm talking too much. And I think another thing is people don't realize if our countries were not devastated by slavery, colonialism, and then the U.S. coming in and meddling, we wouldn't migrate here. We wouldn't need to.
I mean, no one wants to leave their home, a place that they know when they're comfortable with, to just enter a country with nothing.
Right.
Like, do people realize that? Like, they're leaving their home.
I don't think people realize that.
Like, it's not like they move from, like, a different state, you know, because it's phone they
or know, they got a good job.
Or they got a good job or something. Like, no. Like, they're coming with nothing. They're working for anything.
And that's
where you get that encouragement, that drive to do better, because you work for nothing.
Yeah, it's a big sacrifice. I remember my mom always tells the story when she just came. Like, she had her teaching. People don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had her teaching degree from Jamaica. This is why you find, like, people that are, like, doctors from, like, India or Nigeria or something driving mm-hmm. cabs in New York.
Yeah.
Because they come with their degrees, and then the U.S. is like, that's cute. And then there's no respect for it.
It's really, I mean, shit, they barely respect moms like, now.
Right. So my mom had, like, all her courses that she took for teaching were counted as electives.
Wow.
In Jamaica. So I understand wanting to do make sure that there's some sort of integrity.
But the thing is, even outside of the U.S., the education is, there's other countries with better educational
right.
systems.
Right.
Like,
but if they only accept it, if it was coming from a Western country, it'd be different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Spain or something. Or like a European country. It's like, of course. But like, because it's coming from a Caribbean country, even if that university was a branch of a school that started off in London, no. We can't mm-hmm. accept that. So people don't realize that.
Yeah, and that's a setback.
So my mom told me when she first came, someone suggested to her, like, oh, well, you can do, like, the live-in work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people don't talk about that. Like,
listen. Like, that's, like, the first thing, like, the easiest thing that you could get into once you get up here. Like, you know, you either like taking care of like older people
or children, nanny. Or
children being a nanny, and like the treatment is not good.
It's terrible, and then it's the payment's not good.
The payment not good.
It My father, when he just got here, they weren't paying him good. Mm-hmm. Even when he got like a better job, the pay still wasn't good.
Yeah, like when my aunt came up here, she was I think she was a nanny, and like they were racist. The child was racist and everything.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just that we coming out of nowhere, we speaking a different. I mean, like I know what you mean. Like, because I'm saying a different. I was about to say a different language because, you know, my dad is Dominican and they and speak Creole over there. Right. So it's just like when mom came over there. Now she's, you know, she's here with a strong accent, mm-hmm. trying to speak English, trying to understand what's going on in this world. And it's just like, damn.
But that's, speaking of accents, that's kind of like something that happened with the Luke Cage season. People mm-hmm. were like taking issue with the accents. And mm-hmm. the showrunner and the guy that played Bushmaster were on Twitter like, oh, if we had went really hard with the Jamaican accent, people wouldn't be
like,
able to
like, why you have to learn a Jamaican accent? Like, why you could have just hired a Jamaican?
I remember when that call went out, though.
Yeah.
And it was asking for Jamaicans. I was souped. I was like, hey, we about to have some.
No, but like, no. It was set up.
It was a setup. But it was a funny joke. I'm like, Jamaicans, this is why y'all need to let your kids be actors. Mm-hmm. You can't have all doctors and lawyers.
See, that's another thing. Yeah. We need we're forced into being like accountants, doctors.
I remember when I even, because it was literally doctor, lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I think other immigrants can like identify.
Uh-huh.
Because that was, regardless of the society, that is like the pinnacle.
Uh-huh.
Because politicians too dirty, businessman cheap, mm-hmm. doctor, lawyer, those are honest, high pick.
High paying, high position, just
a status.
It's a status symbol.
So, I remember even when I said I was going to do my PhD, people weren't moved initially until they realized, like, oh, he's going to be a professor at college? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just don't think people realize, like, I feel like I'm ranting.
I mean, rant, because it's just a lot to talk about. And, you know, you was born in Jamaica. I was born here.
I was raised up here. And
But I mean, still, you could rant.
It just, people don't realize what it's like. Again, like you were saying, like you really have to like build your whole life over.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, like you said, it's a setback for my mom. She couldn't go to school full time.
Yeah.
Because she had three kids. And she was raising us, so she would have to like start working all over again, and like
mm-hmm.
only got her USBA in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
After like we've been here for like how many years by that time? Almost 20 years.
Yeah, 20 plus years.
Right.
To even get to where she wanted to be, and then for someone to say like, "Oh, like you're taking our jobs."
Right.
Like, it took me a minute to even get here.
Right. And even this, it's important to talk about immigration in general because, like, you don't really see the black immigrants mm-hmm. in the immigration debate. Like, it's always like, and yes, they might have the numbers, people from Mexico and Central America,
mm-hmm.
but black immigrants are deported at higher rates.
Yeah.
I remember there was a case of this guy, it was on, like, Humans of New York.
Mm-hmm.
He was living in a house and there was some problems or something. He had a green card, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And then ICE or the police raided the house and they took him and deported him to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And because his green card was expired. That's not deportable. Mm-hmm. If your green card is expired, it's just like if your license is expired.
Mm-hmm,
just renew it. But and people don't know how much getting U.S. citizenship costs.
I mean, yeah. Because I don't remember the price of how much my dad's was, but he got it, I don't know. I was definitely maybe in middle school when he got his citizenship.
So, my mom, if your parent gets it before you turn 18, you automatically get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, my mom was studying for my senior year. So, I was applying to college as an alien. I had to put down my alien registration number.
Oh.
So I helped her study because it was like $600 a person.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom always rags on my dad, saying like, if he had did it when we just came, we would have all had it.
I feel like also people don't understand, like, just to even get into the country is hard. Like, I have, like, my sister been trying to, like, intern, I've been trying to come up here, and they keep rejecting her application.
Even that visitor's visa is hard,
like,
to get.
Like, she can't, they're not trying to let nobody up here.
And it's even worse with these people in the White House. Like, a visitor's visa is even hard to get. Like, you get, and like, the U.S. takes the money, and there's no like, oh well, that's too bad.
Yeah,
that's, they make a lot of money on those applications. So for people always saying like, come the right way, I'm like, you know how hard it is.
It's not easy. My if you even accept it.
My father was only able to come up here because my aunt had filed for him in the '70s. So his name was kind of already in the system or something like that.
Right.
So it was so much easier for him. Meanwhile, other people, they just coming up doing it themselves. And my mom even told me how one time someone was offered her a marriage. And if she'd marry my son, then you'll be able to come to America. Because that stuff happens too.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I know, I knew somebody that was a... down, like, they knew people that wanted to get married and would pay thousands and thousands of dollars. Yeah, they would pay thousands of dollars to get married, you know, stay married for what, 2 or 3 years?
They're making it longer now.
They're making it longer.
I feel like they are, to make it hard, because like, they feel like some people are doing that.
I mean, didn't Melania Trump do that shit? She has a baby.
You know, she immune, sadly. She not, nothing gonna happen to her. It's the rest of us we gotta worry about.
She barely speak proper English.
She got still Michelle's
speech. I cannot
understand
what she be saying about.
Yeah, it's just, this can go on forever.
Yeah, because it's like, we could talk about the experiences.
And like,
of just coming up here, trying to even get into the country, trying to find a job as an immigrant, like, your education, like, with your mother. Like, it's so much different stuff we could talk about.
And black immigrants know they're black, at least from the Caribbean. I can't say for,
like, Africans. Yeah.
We have to have, like,
a... I feel like that's a bigger issue. I feel like it's a bigger issue because, you know...
But you don't notice in diaspora wars, it tends to really be African-Americans versus Africans more often.
Like I said, that's a bigger issue.
Caribbean people be like...
We're Caribbean.
But, like, because I think for us, we understand, like, we were also enslaved. So we understand slavery and we relate to that. But we were also colonized.
Yeah.
And we're also, like, immigrants. So that makes things a little different for us. So it gets interesting. I don't know.
Do you feel like this is something that probably could be continued in another episode?
Yeah, I definitely think we need it. Because we've had someone that talked about the African-American experience. We have someone talking about our experience. We need someone that's like an African-immigrant. Yeah. And we can even bring another, like, black Caribbean immigrant. Or Afro-Latinx immigrant. I don't think diaspora words are going anywhere. They've existed for
because
a while.
It's hard to talk about because everybody have their own experience and they want to make sure that everybody hears that.
Right.
And it's just a bunch of voices
in
a barrel.
It is like that.
It's like a bunch of people just talking at the same time and no one is really listening to each other.
There was a scholar named Brent Haight Edwards and he has a theory called décollage. And it's like a French word. It means like the part that can't be translated. And he used it to describe like black people in diaspora that were like in Paris and Harlem. Like, so like you had black French people, French Africans in Paris and like African Americans. And they would interact with one another, but there would be some things that they wouldn't be able to understand about the other's experience. And that's what Diaspora Wars is all about on Twitter. It's like, you can't understand a black immigrant first generation's experience in the U.S. if you're not a black first gen immigrant from the Caribbean and America. The same as if you're not African American, you can't understand some parts of the African American experience. Like, that's just how it is. There are these parts that will never be translatable because, and Talika said it in the interview I did with her when I was in London, like, slavery really fucked us up. Slavery and colonialism messed us all
up. It's like a big brainwashed too. It's just like everything is just flipped upside down and we just still cannot sit here and talk. Like, it's just everyone gets in their feelings.
Right.
everyone gets in their feelings, and it's hard to talk about. I don't know when that day is going to come where we could all just sit and just have a conversation and either agree
to disagree. Move
on from that.
Right.
But God, it's hard. Ain't no one trying to hear you out. Everybody think they're right.
I will admit that if someone, like when someone says something about like, oh, are you Caribbean people just coming here, or like da da da, or you need to pay homage to us and y'all don't pay homage, I'm like, what? Pay
homage.
I'm like, Marcus Garvey was here early too. But y'all claim him like nothing. And Malcolm X's mother was from the Caribbean. So now what? Are we really going to start pulling rank and stuff like that?
That beloved Biggie is Jamaican.
Oh, you know he. Okay. You know he's Jamaican.
Okay.
Biggie. He definitely got that name from someone else. But like,
that just reminded me of Faith
Evans. I know. I was thinking about that too.
Sweet baby Jesus.
No, but like, are we going to start pulling rank on everything? Because if we want to pull rank, Kerry Washington descended from Caribbean people too.
It could become so petty.
No, and that's the thing. So someone says something, I'm like,
it's like ridiculous.
That's why I was going back and forth with that troll. I'm like, you really going to sit up here and say other black people wouldn't be successful without, like, reggae exists regardless.
Like, this music genre was outside of the United States.
Right.
Hello. Tons of genres.
But this conversation is to be continued, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was great.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations?
I do. For once.
Yay!
I don't know if you heard of the show Quantico.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a season 2, because I watched the first season and it was good. And I didn't finish the first season, but I started watching the second season because it's like a different story.
Oh, is it different characters?
No, it's the same characters, but it's just a different kind of storyline they had.
Okay.
And oh my God, it was so good. Like, I was just binge watching. Like, I was watching maybe the first episode to like the sixth episode, and not. I don't binge watch anything. Like, I just don't have the patience to do that. But that day, I was sitting there, sitting up. My eyes were just like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous right now. It was so good. And I would recommend it. Season 2 is really good. But season 1, you know, explains all the characters and stuff. So watch season 1.
I have a few recommendations. First, support Baigi, BAGI, Black Alliance for Just Immigration. I had the birthday thing for them.
Oh, okay. Baigi.
Black Alliance for Just Immigration. Yep. They support black immigrant rights. They fight to end like police brutality and racism. I think they're like an important organization that's on the forefront of centering black immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And this debate that they're not really seen and not really visible. Also, I also recommend, again, Sorry to Bother You. Mm-hmm. Great film. The Get Out of 2018. Go see it. If you see it, you should like text me and let me know your thoughts. Because that part was so wild. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you know what I'm talking about. It's a really great film. And also, I'm a big DC fan. Unrelated, but there was a DC animation, as always, since I was a child, been a big part of my life. And there's a new DC animated movie called The Death of Superman, based on like the same comic book story from the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
before I was born. It was amazing. I loved it. The animation was great. The fight scene, the plot, it was mm-hmm. just really good. So I really recommend that too.
Yeah.
And I think that's all for this week for me.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. I don't have anything else to say.
Alright, well, I think this was a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening, as always, through all of that. Again, follow us on Facebook at Drinking with Blurreds, on Twitter, Drinking W Blurreds, and at blog, drinkingwithblurreds.com, where we post all this stuff in that podcast. Make sure to tell a friend, tell a friend, a family member, to listen, like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And send us, if episode ideas. If you want to be a guest, let us know. We're very welcoming people as long as you're not trying to hurt us.
Right.
We would love to have you in the studio and talking some topics with us. Yeah, so thank you all, and we look forward to having you back next time. Thanks. Bye.